Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we are back with another COVID-19 update with Dr. Joe Holly and, of course, my co-host, Sam Bradley. So, Sam, how are you?
We're fine out here in Colorado, Jamie. It's actually kind of hot right now, which is quite a departure from what we've been having. I hear you're blustering on the East Coast, but we have Dr. Joe here, as always, and he's going to talk about more new things. And there seems to be something new every week, huh, Joe?
Yeah, there kind of does, although it's a little bit less than it has been before. So maybe we're beginning to get a handle on this thing.
Well, I'll throw out a question before you get started on your general information, but I'm hearing there's more interesting things going on with teens, like things you don't usually see in teens, like congestive heart failure, brain issues. I mean, what can you tell us about that?
Well, I think you're correct. I think we're beginning to appreciate that the presentation in younger folks is different. I know we've sort of been saying that all along, but I think before it was different in that they didn't seem to get much, and now we're beginning to appreciate that the young kids are getting this Kawasaki-like syndrome or this widespread inflammatory response. And we're seeing some of that even in teens, particularly in some of the more unusual ways like the myocarditis and encephalitis kind of stuff. It's still fairly rare, thankfully. But we are beginning to appreciate that some of these unusual presentations are actually COVID-related.
Well, that's scary because teens are the least likely to take this seriously, I guess. You guys would know better than I do because you have them. But what else you got, Joe?
Well, I think you're right, Sam. You know, that they're invincible. So, you know, it's just a virus. And what's that going to do to me? It's just the flu, quote unquote. So you're right. That makes it a little bit scary, I suppose, in many ways. Basically, we just got to keep paying attention. And speaking of paying attention, there's a couple of interesting things that have come along in the last week or so, sort of related to testing and the body's response to COVID-19, and that is that there's beginning to be a little bit of evidence that folks that have a milder case of the COVID-19 syndrome tend to have a lesser antibody response. And so the challenge becomes, if you've had a relatively mild set of symptoms that are actually related to COVID-19, and then you perform an antibody test on those people, sometimes they'll be negative, even though they've actually had the virus. The issue really is back to a couple things. One is those folks, it appears, do not put out or do not produce as many antibodies as someone who's been significantly ill. But at the same time, there is significant variability in these antibody tests that are coming on the market that can vary by as much as 100-fold in the amount of antibodies they need to see to report positive. So I've seen numbers as low as like 650 antibodies per, you know, nanoliter or something. I'm sure I'm incorrect on the amount of fluid that's involved in, but I have seen numbers of 650 versus 6,500, 100-fold difference in the amount of antibodies that the test needs to see in order to report out a positive. So it's easy to see why folks could be a false negative, depending on which test they got, if their symptoms were fairly mild. And it does also appear that those folks are the asymptomatic spreaders are the ones that are the most challenging to deal with, obviously, because they don't know that they've been sick or they tested negative, quote unquote, and they are busy passing along the virus to other folks without their knowledge. The other thing that has come along out of some testing information is that it seems that the highest sensitivity symptoms in first responders that trying to think of the best way to explain this. So the highest sensitivity symptoms for a positive COVID test are number one, fever, and number two, anosmia that we talked about before, where you lose your sense of taste and smell. And that those two symptoms seem to correlate better in a group of, I don't know, almost 1,000 that were studied with a positive COVID antibody test as opposed to any other symptoms like cough or myalgias or other stuff. So, you know, I don't know if that's helpful to us or not, but certainly if you see folks that have fever and anosmia, those seem to be very solid, more predictive of a positive antibody test than others. And I think really the only other piece of information so far is that most states are a couple of weeks into reopening. I know in my area, we just went to sort of phase two reopening yesterday. That is like personal care centers, nail salons, and gyms and things like that are beginning to open back up. Looking at the positivity rate or new case rate over the last couple of weeks since phase one started, we've not seen a substantial change in the number of new cases. By that, I mean we continue to see new cases, but the increase has continued to be fairly linear and you know, hasn't changed a lot. In other words, it hasn't gone up dramatically since reopening. It's a little hard to know what to make of that. I think part of that is that we're testing a lot more people, and therefore the positivity rate is gone from 4% to 3% or 2% because we're testing so many more people. Hopefully folks are paying attention to social distancing and the other important things that they need to be doing. I bring this up because I want to make certain folks are not becoming complacent that, you know, clearly it's not going to make any difference and that we're going to be fine and not much is going on. I still feel like by the end of the summer, we're going to see a substantial increase in cases and it's going to come back pretty strong. So, you know, the preparation that we've all been doing now is going to pay off in the long run. Keep all those files and everything ready to go because I think we're going to need them in the fall. Hopefully not, but I feel like the history is in favor of another pretty good peak of disease coming our way in a few months.
Well, better to be safe than sorry, as they say. Be prepared, as we've said any number of times. Joe, I heard that there was one vaccine trial that looked fairly promising. Have you heard anything about that?
Just a little bit. You are correct. There was an early trial that looked promising. It was a very preliminary study in a very small number of patients, but it does look promising. I think that will push forward aggressively into phase two trials with a larger group of folks and et cetera. So, you know, it's encouraging news. Vaccine development is not a fast process, and I think we've got a long way to go before it's going to be really substantially impactful in the battle against the pandemic. But, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed that this goes forward quickly and may be available for folks within the next year or so.
Yeah, copy that. Well, going back to what you were saying, too, I hear a lot of first responder organizations, be them hospitals, fire departments, or private ambulance, are actually checking temperatures when their employees come to work, because that would be the first sign that they could be carrying COVID without even realizing it. So that seems like a pretty wise thing to do. I mean, it's not expensive, and it doesn't take long.
Agreed. I think that'll kind of be our new norm for quite a while to come, that we're going to be checking temps and you know, screening each other for symptomatology upon arrival in the workplace. It's certainly challenging for EMS, particularly services like helicopter EMS, where, you know, crews are in pretty tight quarters for a prolonged period of time, and therefore the need to try to screen out any potential carriers of the infection prior to exposing the other members is really important. So I think we'll see that going forward for quite a while now.
God knows if a firefighter can't smell dinner, that's a problem. Jamie, any thoughts from you?
I just think that, you know, it's interesting to hear and think back to all of these updates. I think this is update number 9 that we've done with Joe. And, you know, just watching the way things are evolving over time and have evolved in our understanding of this disease and how it progresses. It's been pretty fascinating from just an epidemiology standpoint to see something novel like this come into the disease marketplace, if you will. And we still are learning so much about it every week. So that's all I have. Joe, it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come in and do these extra updates on top of our regular weekly shows.
Well, my pleasure, guys. Hopefully we can get the information out to everybody. Please stay safe, take care of yourselves, and take care of your family and your workmates.